We're going to be singing a cappella, or a cappella, however you say it. How do you say it? A cappella? A cappello? All right. It's the accent. The hymns, I think y'all will be very familiar with, and they're not real long, like the opening hymn. The last hymn that we were singing will be sung to the tune of Onward Christian Soldiers. And the liturgy is the Divine Service 4, so most of it will be spoken as far as our responses go, most of it. Some of it, of course, will be sung. But I think y'all might be familiar enough with it, we can get through it without any problem. So, let us rise and we join in singing the opening hymn. And Mark, if you could give us a note or something, or start us off. You know?
A word of advice?
I'd do it, but I tend to sometimes start too low. Or
I'm not familiar with this song.
Okay. Open now thy great gates of beauty, Zion, let me enter there, where my soul in joyful duty waits for him who answers prayer. Oh, how blessed is this place, filled with solace, light, and grace. Gracious God, I come before thee, come thou also unto me, where we find thee and adore. Gladly chanted, here thy seed is duly sown. Let my soul, where it is planted, bring forth precious sheaves alone, so that all I hear may be fruitful unto life in me. Thou my faith increase and quicken, let me keep thy gift divine. Howsoe'er temptation thickens, may thy word still o'er me shine as my guiding star through life, as my comfort in all strife. Speak, O God, and I will hear thee, let thy will be done indeed. May I undisturbed draw near thee, while thou dost thy people feed. Hear of life the fountain flows, here is balm for all our woes.
In
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? There is forgiveness Therefore, since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God in His mercy has forgiven us all our sins for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ. And by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, and in His stead, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's read responsibly the introit for this morning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
For His steadfast love endures forever.
The stone that the builders rejected
has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever.
Amen. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good.
For His steadfast love endures forever.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated, at God's right hand on high. For you alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever be worshipped and adored. You with the Holy Spirit alone are Lord Most High. In God the Father glory. Amen. Our glad reply. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love and grant us the fullness of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, beginning with chapter 5, verse 1. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O Jerusalem, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedges, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us join reading responsively the gradual. He will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
The epistle reading for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning at the second part of verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scripture, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. Believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated and let us join in singing hymn 506, Glory Be to God the Father.
Glory be to God the Father, glory be to God the Son, glory be to God the Spirit, great Jehovah, three in one. Glory, glory, while eternal ages run. Glory be to him who loved us, washed us from each spot and stain. Glory be to Him who bought us, made us kings with Him to reign. Glory, glory to the Lamb that once was slain. Glory to the King of angels. Glory to the church's King. Glory to the King of nations. Heaven and earth, your praises bring. Glory, glory to the King of glory. Sing. Glory, blessing, praise eternal, thus a choir of angels sing. Honor, riches, power, dominion, thus its praise creation brings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings.
Could I impose on someone to, if you don't mind getting me a cup of water or something? I'm drying my voice out. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the churches I was called to was in Winchester, Virginia. And Winchester was known for apples. Had been the apple capital long before the state of Washington. In fact, you can ride around in Winchester and go around the warehouse district, and you'll see the warehouses for all the apples with the names like Musselman. Yeah, you go right over next door into West Virginia, because West Virginia is almost right there, and you'll find more of the same. Thank you. But that was something I didn't know. But when I was there, oh, they were also known for peaches. That was their second big crop. Bet you didn't know that. Well, now, when we talk about peaches, we think of maybe the state of Georgia. After all, it's the peach state. And you've got street names like Peachtree Street. And you got a city, Peachtree City. That's kind of bragging about your peaches, I think, when you start naming whole cities after a peach or a peach tree. But, you know, that's where we get the peaches from. And, of course, Texas has great peaches. I like them. But there's nothing like a Freestone peach when those cook. They're so huge and so full of juice, and they're just such a wonderful, wonderful fruit. In our In fact, you can go to just about any state and you'll find some fruit they're known for. I think Tennessee's strawberries. And I'm not sure. I know that in Dayton, Tennessee, they have a huge strawberry festival and have had one since I was a little kid. My grandmother lived in Dayton, Tennessee, and that was a big thing, going strawberry picking. I remember swinging bridge and crossing that to one patch one time. I didn't care for a swinging bridge that much, because when I was real little, like about four, you know, it looked far down over the side and it swung. But you know, our Lord talks about a vineyard and the fruit that isn't so good that comes from this vineyard. But just putting it back into context, this whole parable that Jesus speaks, we remember some of the events that take place when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. We remember that he came into Jerusalem this time under shouts of Hosanna in the highest. He overturns a moneylender's table and chases them out with his rope, his cincture, basically, like a whip. He just drives them out of the temple. And even before he goes into Jerusalem, he sees a fruit tree, a fig tree that's not got any fruit on it, and he commands it just to wither and die. I mean, a lot of events have been going on this week, this day. Though Jesus, he's with his disciples when he tells them a different kind of parable. But it was the events where he's in the temple and these leaders are asking him, by whose authority do you do these things, right? So this is like the next day now, and Jesus is just with these Jewish leaders. He's not with his disciples. At least Matthew doesn't mention them as being present. But Jesus tells them a story that draws them in, a parable. And we just heard it, you know, how he draws them into it. And he speaks to them about something familiar. And we heard it in the Old Testament lesson today, and probably they were hearing it too. The words from Isaiah in chapter 5, where God declares, you know, he made this vineyard, and God even mentions that this vineyard is Jerusalem, Judah, and instead of producing sweet grapes, it produces wild grapes. Instead of a domesticated kind of thing, he gets something entirely different, and it's going to not taste very good at all. But, you know, God lets them know through Isaiah that the meaning of the story is that, Judah, you are those wild grapes. You know, and that this land is going to be taken from you, and God's going to lay it to waste. All the things that you put your security in, the tall walls, are going to be torn down. And the land itself will suffer because I'm not going to let the rain fall upon it. It will become a desolate place. So, I mean, this story is known by these teachers, and Jesus begins this story about talking about a vineyard in this parable. And he just draws them into the whole story so that finally they get to the point. They're angry also. And Jesus, you know, the question is, you know, what should the owner do? And he says he should take those wretches out of there and lease it out to new tenants. See how they're just drawn into the story. They're not even getting the point just yet. But Jesus will help them. So he talks to them about a stone. He goes to a different portion of Scripture. Now he goes to a psalm and talks about the stone that the builders rejected and how it will become a stumbling stone. It is a stone of judgment, really. There's a lot of in Jesus' story a bit of a reminder too of how Nathan approached David after his sin with Bathsheba and the ultimate murder of her husband. by telling him a story about a man who had a lamb that he raised up, and it was like a member of his family. He gave it a name, you know, and so his neighbor was going to entertain a feast, and rather than, you know, taking one of his own sheep and having it, you know, killed and clean dressed for a meal, for a feast, he takes this man's lamb that this man loved as if it were a child of his. We know how that is with pets. And it infuriates David when he hears this story, and David thinks this man should be, you know, he's guilty of a high crime, really. And then Nathan points to him and says, David, you're that man. He gets him. He gets him. And we know David repents. And he receives that absolution because Nathan tells him, you will not die because of this. Repentance is such an integral part of being the people of God, because we know that there are times we are going to sin. I mean, Jesus accuses these leaders of not bringing about good fruit. In fact, they're going to be guilty of something even far worse, a higher crime. And they've said it themselves when they heard how the tenants of the vineyard killed the son of the master of the tenant, the owner of the vineyard, rather. And Jesus tells them, you've heard the parable, or in the Psalms, the stone the builders rejected. Jesus is the stone. He is the cornerstone. He is that part that holds the whole thing together. And even though he's been rejected by his own whom he came to, yet he will offer out forgiveness through his own body by being hung on a cross. But not just for those people, but also for the whole world. For God's going to expand his vineyard. It was perhaps too small anyway. It seemed that it was only around Judah. They weren't being faithful as the priests that God intended them to be to the world. Indeed, they were in a situation where they had found themselves politically subservient to Rome. And they were not really looked up to because of their hard-heartedness and their unwillingness to even be good citizens of Rome. They had failed in every way to reach out to their own who were suffering through the law and who were judged by them as being unworthy for heaven. So God's going to do something new. He's going to take these tenants and remove them. He will remove them from their authority and give it to another. The whole system of sacrifice will be brought to an end through the Lord's own sacrifice. See, at that time they didn't understand. They didn't know how this would all take place. But they did understand he was talking about them. It's kind of hard for them not to, because Jesus even flat out says it. But they perceive. Excuse me. So they... All right. Matthew tells us they perceive that he's talking about them. Well, that's, you know, an understatement. Because Jesus makes it plain. But he doesn't really make it plain in how it is that he's going to remove the one tenant and replace it with another tenant. And who, after all, are these other tenants? Well, Jesus in different places would point out that there are other sheep and he's going to go out and bring them in. There's other places Jesus talks about this, that he himself will draw all nations to Jerusalem. And that does take place with his crucifixion. We see the whole world, in a sense, drawn to that day. Which, for Jesus, in our text, is coming up. So Jesus warns them. And he brings it about. Because truly, we too can find ourselves guilty of not producing good fruit. Now they were producing fruit that came from the law. St. Paul would say that. We heard him say that actually in the epistle lesson to the Philippians. He tells us how he used to be. And even how he excelled in his persecution of the church. That must have sounded odd to the Christians in Philippi that were hearing him say that, not knowing where he was going with it. But yeah, they probably could say, Paul, you did. He had a bit of notoriety about him as far as the Christians were concerned. But God chooses St. Paul. He chooses Paul. He chooses Saul and gives him a new name. And Paul carries the message to the world. God calling new tenants into his vineyard. His vineyard is no longer centered in Jerusalem, but now it is centered in the world in a sense. Because the church just expands. It just keeps going, that message, that good news of what Jesus brings. But as I said, we too can be guilty of not producing good fruit. And, you know, the last thing I want anyone here is to feel like somehow we don't measure up. Because of Christ, you do, and so do I. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. So if we are grafted into Jesus, which each and every one of you are, then you have only good fruit to produce. It may not always look good to us, perhaps, because we see some of the thorns, though grapevines don't have thorns, I don't think. I don't really know. I've not been that close to, but I don't believe they do. But there are thorns in our lives, and we see those, but you know, God doesn't see those because of His Son. He sees good fruit. Because in your heart, that's what you want to do, is to do and produce good fruit. And that's because of Christ in you, not because of anything else. You get your strength in Christ through word and sacrament. You are nourished. You are taken care of. The word, in a sense, maybe prunes us at times, clips off some things in order that new things may come about so that new fruit may come forth. But the fruit that we have comes from the Holy Spirit, who grants us this wonderful gift from God of being able to love as Christ loved us. Things like hope and faith, you know, things that we sometimes just take for granted, or we don't perhaps stop long enough to just think on those things. The church has been producing fruit since its beginning, and the church is God's vineyard. The church doesn't belong to any individual except for Christ Jesus Himself. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. We are passing by in this place, but the eternal home, the eternal place that God has provided for us is without corruption and will never end. But that's God's gift to us. Meanwhile, we produce fruit in the church in different and various ways through different organizations like the LWML. For over 80 years, been producing really, really good fruit. And sometimes just in subtle ways, nothing necessarily big or pompous or, I don't know, you know, just like the mites. I think the mites are a wonderful thing. I don't know who came up with the idea for it, but it's been copied by other organizations, that whole thing of taking the change that's sitting around the house and using it to help other people. But that's been something the LWML has been doing as long as I can remember, because my mom used to steal from me all the time. You didn't leave change around if you wanted it. Nah, she didn't steal. She asked for it. You got any change? So, but those gifts, when they're all brought together with all the different chapters throughout the country, when all that stuff is put together, what a powerful impact it makes. And then there are the less not so subtle things the LWML does that are known too, because it's such a wonderful organization in our church. One of the things I didn't realize about the LWML, because I always thought it was an organization you voluntarily joined, and I had a district president of the LWML tell me, she said, all women of the Missouri Synod are members of the LWML. I went, okay. Because see, we didn't have a chapter. They had one, but unfortunately, like many places, they kind of have disbanded or just grown really small, and they still do some of the work like y'all do. I remember my vicarage church and how full the fellowship hall was with women for their monthly meeting. And I would sit there, and the pastor would sit there, and he would take his own notes of the, like, minutes. And all the ladies there would do a Bible study together, and then they would discuss some of the things they were going to do. And what a wonderful thing. I guess in North Dakota it might be easier to keep that thing together because they're so spread out. At least that's what I think sometimes. And Wahpeton was the big city in the area. Everything else was farms and smaller towns. But the church and its organizations have been doing a wonderful job of spreading the gospel in many and various ways. See, Jesus was speaking law to the Pharisees, and I don't want to speak law to you because I think y'all have been faithful, not just the LWML, but I'm speaking to the LWML people here, those women that take part in it. You have been faithful. And that comes from Christ. Because there's nothing that we really have that we can brag about. As St. Paul said, he counts all that stuff as being rubbish. And I think we would say the same thing about those things in our lives that at one time we thought were excellent. And we look back at them and we think, oh, they weren't so excellent after all. But we are thankful to God who has given us a new life and a new place in His kingdom. And we show that through our actions and what we do. The wonderful thing is we don't have to do it at all, but we want to. We want to. Sometimes there are things in life we don't want to do. When I was growing up, I did not want to do the dishes. I was the dishwasher. There was no automatic dishwasher. Not for a while. And every time I would complain about it, every single time I think I just grumbled the whole time. My mom said, "Why do you do that? Why do you grumble all the time about washing the dishes?" I said, "I don't know, it helps me get through it." But we don't do it grumbling. We don't do it looking for accolades. We don't do it because we have to, but we do it out of the love of God in us and wanting to share that love with others. We do it because there's a need and we know we can fill it. And so we are producing good fruit for the kingdom. And it's a wonderful thing, because there's one thing about God's people that is true. Okay, there's more than one thing. And that is, we like being active. We like doing things in response to God's love. And it has become a natural thing for us to do. So we acknowledge that, yes, the church is God's. It is His vineyard. And we are thankful that He has brought us into that vineyard and placed us here in this time, in this day, in this age, as stewards. Stewards with the responsibility of carrying the cross on to the next generation. And as long as we're out there doing the good things that Christ calls us to do, no matter how small they may be or how large it may be, we are thankful that we're able to do it together. Because really that's what makes LWML, or in that matter, for that matter, any of our organizations, strong, is we do it together. That's what makes the church strong, because we do it together. We're not an individual trying to carry out a feat of strength or a feat that is unreachable. But we are together, the body of Christ. We are together grafted in to the vine. And the Holy Spirit will guard and protect you and keep you in this holy faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you would, take the league pledge. And we're going to rise and say this. I'm going to include the men to say this with the ladies, just because of that togetherness. And unless you ladies would just like to do it by yourselves.
Everybody,
there we go.
Everybody, yeah.
Well, let's stand then and let us make this pledge before our Lord. in fervent gratitude for the Savior's dying love and His blood-bought gift of redemption, we dedicate our sins to Him with all that we are and have, in obedience to His call for workers in the harvest fields. We pledge Him our willing service wherever and whenever He has need of us. We consecrate to our Savior our hands to work for Him, our feet to go on His errands, our voice to sing His praises, our lips to proclaim His redeeming love, our silver, our gold to extend His kingdom, our will to do His will, and every power of our life to the great task of bringing the lost and the erring into eternal fellowship with Him. Amen. Please be seated. Now I'm going to make you stand again. It's time for the prayers of the church. Sorry about that. We pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Merciful Lord, You have planted us as Your own vineyard, that we might bear good fruit for Your glory. Grant to us grace that we may be faithful and show forth in our lives the good works that glorify You and serve Your purpose. Lord, in Your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious Father, embolden us by Your Spirit that we may give witness to Your mighty acts. Bless the missionaries who bring the gospel to people who have not heard, and raise up faithful pastors who will nurture the congregation in their care with Your word and sacraments. Give us ears willing to hear, minds willing to be instructed, and hearts willing to trust You in all things. Lord, in Your mercy. For the mission of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League to assist each woman of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in affirming her relationship with the Triune God, so that she is enabled to use her gifts in ministry to the people of the world, and to support global missions through the gatherings of mites and providing of mission grants. Lord, in Your mercy. Holy Lord, rescue us from all enemies of Your church and bless us with church leaders whose voices will not waver in the face of threat. Bless Matthew, President of the Synod, Michael, our district president, our circuit visitor, and our pastors. Inspire men and women to go into church work, vocation, and bless those preparing for church work. Lord, in Your mercy.
Amen.
Mighty Lord, give to the nation both the desire for and the blessing of peace. Thwart the actions of terrorists and those who would oppress with the power of fear. Bless Donald, our president, and grant him healing. Bless Greg, our governor, and all who pass, enforce, and judge our laws. Spare us from disease and fear. Deliver the poor from want and help us to provide jobs and worthy employment for all. Lord, in Your mercy. Everlasting Father, guide husbands and wives to love and forgive each other and strengthen them in their life together. Bless the homes in which Your people dwell. Help parents to be faithful examples for their children, and give room in their hearts and homes so that orphans may know the joy of a place and a home to call their own. Lord, in Your mercy. God of love, deliver the sick from their illness, give relief to the suffering, help the troubled to know peace of mind, and be with the grieving and those in their final days. Guide all health care professions to serve those in need and give patience to those who must bear with their infirmities, disabilities, and infertility. Hear us especially for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galabias, Jan Johnson, Linda and Leroy Fangmeyer, Don and Donna Tolner, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Sue Daniels, Jeff McIntyre, Pat Bias, Peggy Spitzenberg, and all those for whom we now name from our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's body and blood in this Holy Supper, that we may be strengthened in faith, renewed in love, and nurtured in faith by our communities. Give to us unity of faith and harmony in our life together. Bring us at last with the saints who have gone before, that we may attain everlasting life and dwell in your presence forever. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, grant us a willing spirit that we may serve you with all that we have and all that we are. Help us to be faithful and fruitful in the godly use of your resources and gifts, that we may use them in accord with your will and for your glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, keep us from resentful hearts that would begrudge your mercy or live selfishly for ourselves, and teach us to live for you, the life that you have given us, treasuring in our hearts all that is good and wise, and seeking after these things. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Hear us, O Lord, and give answer to the prayers of your people prayed in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whom with the Father and the Spirit you are one God and one Lord forevermore. Amen. If you would just join in singing Let the Vineyards. Do y'all know that one? Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all. Unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sins, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord.
Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve and ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you proclaimed salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessing of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood in the New Testament shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in joy and peace. Amen.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace, a light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen. now shall ever be. God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Serve the Lord with gladness, is his alone, who redeemed us sinners, guides us as his own, to enjoy the blessings of his love and grace. Let this be our aim. Serve the Lord.